I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome back to Radio Times. Hurricane Sandy is churning up the East Coast and looks like it's going to touch down in the Atlantic City, New Jersey area sometime later on tonight. Millions of people live along the Atlantic Ocean. Many communities and regions are at risk for flooding and storm surge, down power lines, fallen trees from high winds. We are tracking this storm on Radio Times, on WHYY, and on Newsworks, keeping you up to speed on what's going on, where the storm is going, its potential impact, and what makes Sandy so powerful and so dangerous. And joining us now is Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. Mayor Nutter, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Marty, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. What is your one message to the residents of Philadelphia, those listening to this show?
Make plans, be prepared, and then take action. And that will mean different things to different people. But most importantly, if you are in a flood-prone area, if a low-lying area, and if you have not left your home yet, and you know your area and your neighborhood probably better than I do, you need to relocate. Friends, family, of course, we have shelter operations in three different sections of the city, West Philly, at West Philadelphia High. In the northwest, it's Roxborough High, and in the northeast, it's Fells High. These are big open spaces, a lot of capacity. We can take care of individuals and their pets. You should bring your pets with you, not leave them at home. If you don't have to be outside, stay in the house. If you don't have to be on the road, stay off the road. Conditions are deteriorating fairly rapidly. It's getting colder. The wind is kicking up stronger, and it is raining more. We just want folks to be safe. We want them to be secure. Listen to the radio. Turn on your TV. Hopefully have a radio with batteries in case power goes out. Enough water for you and your family and your pets. We need everyone to hang in there together, take care of each other, check on senior citizens and vulnerable folks, people who may be sick or shut in, those kinds of circumstances. I know we can get through this. Our city forces are ready. We're partnered with the state and federal governments. President Obama signed the emergency declaration for Pennsylvania. We're grateful for that and want to thank also Governor Corbett and his team for putting the information together along with us to make that happen. So, got a lot going on, but we just want people to be safe.
And I hear that phone ringing behind you, and I know the city has a 311 service. Is that where people should call if they have storm-related questions?
Absolutely. 311 is really going to be your best connection to information and to City Hall. Even as we are generally closed, 311 is open 24 hours. It will have all emergency numbers. They can connect you or help you get connected to PICO if there's a problem, the water department, or PGW, and they have regular updated information. You can also watch the cable access channel 64, which is the city's government access channel. We'll have a ton of information there on Twitter. We're just trying to keep everyone as informed as possible, let people know what's going on, and again, public safety is our paramount concern.
Are you also concerned about the city's water system, which could be stressed by lots of rain and the potential for flooding?
We're certainly concerned about flooding. With 4 to 8 inches of rain expected in a relatively short period of time, that is a tremendous strain on our sewer system, and in some places it could get surcharged, and then you get backup. We're worried also about the Schuylkill and the Delaware with high tides coming, full moon, as well as the amount of water that's coming down. We could see surges and overflowing in Schuylkill and Delaware rivers, Kelly Drive, West River, Martin Luther King Drive, and Lincoln Drive in particular. We're worried about them as well.
As you said, the president has declared, it sounds like it declared an emergency for the state of Pennsylvania, state of emergency for the state?
Yes.
What does that mean for the city and even for the surrounding area?
Generally what it means is, again, in the aftermath of all this, there's federal funding that's made available, but that only comes with a presidential declaration. Certain forms and materials have to be filed and accepted. That work has been done. So whenever the resources become available, Pennsylvania is eligible, and then, of course, Philadelphia is as well. But I think also, Marty, folks should take heed that these kinds of declarations, the president with the declaration of emergency for Pennsylvania, the governor issuing a state of emergency declaration, I've issued a declaration of state of emergency as well. Those are all signs that this is a very serious storm, and people should not take anything for granted. If you're in your car, unlike the TV commercials where you have cars going through all kinds of stuff, don't try it. It really doesn't work. The water is usually deeper than you think, and you can get swept away. If you have water in your basement, don't go into that situation. You can get electrocuted. And so these are all the things that people can do for themselves. Certainly we're going to be doing our best. I'm very proud of our public employees. They will be diligent. They are professional. We have a plan. We're going to execute that plan, and we just need as much help and support from citizens as possible.
According to weather forecasters, it looks like the full brunt of the storm will arrive sometime later today, maybe even in to tonight.
Yes.
Obviously, the city preparing, the region preparing, the East Coast preparing for this. Are there more things that the city's going to do once the full brunt of the storm is here?
Well, you know, this is one of these situations where, again, the fundamental game plan here is keeping, to the greatest extent possible, people off the street, cars off the road, shelter in place, be prepared from a utility standpoint. Certainly, if trees start going down because of the winds and the rain, then that creates a dangerous condition for the citizen, possibly in their home or their apartment. Creates dangerous conditions for the workers who have to deal with that kind of circumstance. So patience is also part of the key here. Good preparation really just the partnership. But the game plan remains virtually the same. Although in the Irene situation, that storm, it's all relative, but that storm passed relatively soon. This one is slower moving, so the conditions that we get will last a little longer. And again, that's where the patience is really required and just everyone doing their part.
And that's Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter joining us in this portion of Radio Times, talking about what the city is doing as we all prepare for Hurricane Sandy working her way or its way up the coast. Looks like it'll come in around the Atlantic City area and then move west. At least that's what our forecaster guests have told us this morning on Radio Times.
Oh, we're right in that path.
Exactly. And we are taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Mayor Nutter, I noticed that Mayor Bloomberg of New York was concerned about the subway system in New York flooding. Do you have similar concerns about Philadelphia subway system?
I'll call you back, yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, I'm here.
Don't leave us.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. I know you're probably managing a bunch of phones there.
I heard the question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm aware of what Mayor Bloomberg did up in New York. We are certainly always concerned about excessive amounts of water going into the subway system. I have noticed as I've been driving around, though, a lot of those open grate areas on the Broad Street line in particular that you often, kind of hear the subway as you're going past. SEPTA has very smartly closed all of those off, and we're monitoring the amount of water going into the subway. But certainly in this kind of situation, we're always concerned about that.
And SEPTA has closed down temporarily. Do you know what criteria they will use to decide when to be operational?
A lot of it is based on a direct examination of the system. Again, if you have trees and limbs and all this kind of stuff all over the place, if you have, a track that's been damaged or affected, debris, rocks, boulders, whatever the case may be, the entire system has to be checked before you send rolling stock into that kind of environment. We also need to make sure for the rest of the system, certainly above ground, can buses and trolleys get around? Regional rail, you've got an entire 5-county system, which is heavily, it's all exposed, all outside, and that entire system has to be checked before you can start sending, personnel and equipment and certainly citizens, riders, into that kind of environment. So it will take a while. Once the system shuts down, it does take a while to bring it back up in a safe fashion. SEPTA's all over that, but it'll take, today into tomorrow. And as you mentioned earlier, we have not seen the brunt of the storm yet. So we're still at the very early stages here. I mean, you know, there are already trees down in a variety of places, but we haven't seen anything yet.
What about the homeless? And I know there are efforts to try to get them into shelters or certainly into emergency shelters. Has that been successful from what you know?
Based on the information I have, we've actually had a significant amount of success with our homeless population. The Office of Supportive Housing, the Department of Behavioral Health, and others are actively engaged in that effort. We have our outreach teams on the street. We've had that since yesterday, and the homeless are certainly responding. I've even this morning encouraged a couple folks personally. You know, the conditions are bad. I jumped out of the vehicle and went over to a couple people and gave them the information they needed to be much safer. It's horrible outside for anyone, but certainly for anyone who's homeless.
I know it's too early to add up the costs of this particular storm, but I'm assuming when you add everything up, the cost could be sizable for Philadelphia.
It's certainly possible. I mean, I can't even venture. I'm not even going to speculate, again, because we have not really seen the true total impact of the storm. It's impossible at the moment to really estimate what the cost will be. But, again, you know, we deal with costs. Be careful how I say this. I mean, our number one priority has to be public safety, human life, and safe, secure environments, and everything else we just deal with as it comes.
I saw you on TV last night. You're with us on the radio today. What will you be doing in the next 24 hours, Michael Nutter?
I'll be doing some of this, certainly with various outlets, but I'll be out on the street a great deal. I've been out on the street since 6 o'clock this morning, and I'll spend the bulk of the day into the evening doing the same thing.
And looking for what?
Looking for unsafe conditions, looking for places where we may need support, looking for, in some instances, literally people out on the streets. You know, I saw some honor boxes that had been knocked down and were in an intersection early today. A couple of us got out and, you know, moved those to a safer location. It's just, you know, whatever I can possibly do. I mean, the professionals are out there doing their jobs according to the plan. But to the extent that I can report something, you know, I saw some lifts on the street. They, you know, I wasn't sure whether they were secure or not, getting that information to streets and L&I and that kind of stuff. Talking to folks at the shelters, keeping the news media updated, and constantly responding to citizens, whether it's on Twitter or, you know, other ways of communicating.
On that note, Mayor Michael Nutter, thank you for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. We have more guests waiting in the wings and also taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We are tracking and covering and talking about Hurricane Sandy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The University of Pennsylvania supports WHYY. Are you drinking more than you want to? Would you like to reduce your drinking? UPenn is conducting a 13-week research study of a medication to help people reduce their drinking. To participate, you must be 18 to 65 and a regular drinker. The study provides a medical evaluation, including blood tests, brief counseling, and monitoring of your drinking. Details at 215-222-3200, extension 241. 215-222-3200, extension 241.
As Gemma, the fierce old lady of the biker gang in the FX series Sons of Anarchy, Katie Sagal has shot and killed people, pulled a gun on a baby, and other horrible things.
She's done quite a few what, you know, might be viewed as heinous, but she does not view them that way.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Katie Sagal. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY. Quintessence Theater Group proudly supports WHYY and presents William Shakespeare's Othello. Quintessence returns to the Elizabethan tradition of all-male Shakespeare with this riveting romantic tragedy full of passion, ambition, and jealousy at the Sedgwick Theater in Mount Airy. Othello is now extended through November 11th. Tickets, information, and performance schedule is available at 877-238-5596 or online at quintessencetheater.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. As you probably know by now, Hurricane Sandy has been slowly working its way up the East Coast, pounding coastal areas with heavy rain and high seas, surges and high winds. It's estimated to be about 1,000 miles wide, scheduled to hit the Atlantic City area sometime later today. Of course, concern about heavy flooding and power outages and toppled trees and damages to structures. Airports are closed as our schools. Public transit has been shut down, and people living in low-lying areas have been told to evacuate. Joining us now is Michael Lemonick, author of a new book called Mirror Earth, The Search for Our Planet's Twin. In fact, we were supposed to interview him about that book today, but instead we're going to be talking about Hurricane Sandy. He's a senior writer for Climate Central, lead author of a book that came out earlier this year called Global Weirdness, Severe Storms, Deadly Heat Waves, Relentless Droughts, Rising Seas, and the Weather of the Future. He's also a contributing writer for Time magazine, where he's covered science and the environment for over two decades. And Michael Lemonick, shifting gears, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good to be with you, and I have to apologize for not driving down to Philadelphia.
We did not want you to do that. We will have you do that another time.
Okay.
Let me give out this phone number, and it's 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. If you have a question for Michael Lemonick or want to tell us what you're doing today, do give us a call. Michael, even going back to your previous book, Global Weirdness, does Hurricane Sandy fit the criteria for weird weather?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, certainly it's a confluence of weather events that are very unusual. So we've got a tropical storm moving north from the Caribbean. We've got a weather system moving in from the west, and then we've got a region of high pressure hovering over Greenland, which is kind of boxing the storm in. So you've got three things coming together to make a much bigger and more destructive storm than you would expect.
And is that just a kind of confluence of events?
Well, this is always the question that comes up with climate change. And the answer is, you can't say. You can't say for certain based on one storm. Something like this could have happened 50 years ago. The right question is, are things like this likely to happen more often as the climate gets warmer? And climate scientists think, yes, they probably are.
And that's because of the warming water temperature?
It's actually because of a couple of things. Warming water temperatures in the tropics, all other things being equal, are likely to lead to more powerful hurricanes. Now, this hurricane is actually not that powerful in terms of wind speeds. I mean, the winds, the last I heard, are at 90 miles an hour, right, at the right at the center of the storm, which is by no means a record or even close to it. But on average, storms should get more powerful. The latest climate projections suggest that, but only suggest because we don't know enough yet, that hurricanes could actually come less often because of the complicated formation dynamics of a hurricane. And I can explain that more later, if you like. So it's kind of a mix. But another factor that has recently come into the equation is that we've lost a lot of ice in the Arctic, over the Arctic Ocean, which makes the Arctic warmer than it would otherwise be. And there's some preliminary suggestion that that's changing the motion of the jet stream in such a way that that's what's keeping the storm here for much longer and sending it inland when normally it would go out to sea.
And the operative word is projection, right? Because no one can, at least at this point, be definitive about this, but we're seeing some changes that could change the kind of storms that we have.
Right, the kind of storms and the tracks that they will follow. And that's an important thing. You know, if we have more storms, but they all go out to sea, who cares? Except for shipping. If we have fewer storms and more of them come ashore, we care a lot. That's much worse for us.
Now, there were 19 named hurricanes this year. I guess the fact that we got to Sandy means that there were a fair number of hurricanes. Does that seem surprising to you, Michael? Does that seem like a lot of hurricanes?
It's a lot of hurricanes. It's more than average. But, you know, climate is just such a complicated thing, and hurricanes especially. And what the hurricane experts tell me is that they come and go in cycles whether or not there's climate change. So until about 2005, we were in a kind of a quiet period for about, I think, about 40 years. And before that, we were in an active period. Mm-hmm. And we may be going back to an active period. So, yes, it's a lot. And, yes, it may have in part to do with climate change, but it probably also has in part to do with natural variations in hurricane frequency.
And you mentioned the year 2005, and that's when Katrina hit New Orleans and southern Louisiana. I think there were 28 storms that year.
Right, right. So that was a very active season. So, you know, the thing that we failed to get across about climate change is that it is something that's happening on top of all the normal cycles that we see. And so to say, is this climate change or is it not, it's too simple a question. It's normal plus climate change, and normal can mean more storms.
But it's the question that people want everyone to answer, and to answer now. but you're saying we're not there yet.
Right. Well, no, and we'll never be there to the point that natural variation is going to be eliminated. Right. So 100 years from now, say that the projections are right and we have, on average, fewer hurricanes, but they're more powerful. That's the current state of thinking. Even so, there will be some years with more, some decades with more, and some decades with fewer. It'll still go up and down with that natural variation. It's just that the whole baseline of what's normal will have shifted.
And that's Michael Lemonick. He's a contributing writer for Time magazine, where he's covered science and environment for over two decades. Wrote a book, in fact, was a guest on Radio Times on that book called lead author of a book called Global Weirdness. And he's got a brand new book, which we'll talk about at some future date, called Mirror Earth, The Search for Our Planet's Twin. And we're talking about Hurricane Sandy, what we do and don't know about climate change and global warming and its impact on storms like Sandy. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Michael, what amazes me is just if you're kind of glued to your TV or listening to the radio or plugged in online to NOAA and some of these other weather forecasting organizations or institutions, is just how much information there is. And it seems like they are getting more accurate.
They are getting more accurate. It's interesting. They've gotten much, much more accurate at forecasting where a storm is likely to go. They really have that down. What they are not as good at as they want to be is forecasting changes in intensity. So the storm, in fact, has just intensified over the past few hours. It's still out to sea. And this was not something that they knew was going to happen. So it's a hurricane is such a complicated system that intensity changes are still very difficult. And one thing they're trying to do to help with that is they're now not only flying airplanes into hurricanes to try and measure temperature and humidity and wind speed and so on, but they're now flying unmanned drones. They borrowed some from the Defense Department to fly above hurricanes, and they're on a campaign right now to do that, to try and understand them better, so they can have a better sense of how intense a hurricane is going to be 3 or 4 days from now.
We have a update from the National Weather Service. Sustained winds have risen to 90 miles per hour with higher gusts. And just speaking to what you just said there, Michael, with the plane spotters offshore. So clearly, intense tracking of this particular storm.
Exactly. And of pretty much every storm that comes within range of these hurricane tracking planes.
And again, we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. One of the things that you wrote about recently, actually, in Climate Central is, and I had talked with this one of our previous guests about this, which is that it's really the storm surge that we should be, if not concerned about, at least be more knowledgeable about it and be the part of these storms that we need to be tracking. Help us understand what a storm surge is.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I'm just now writing an explainer story for Climate Central on exactly that point. Um, So a storm surge is the rise in water that comes with a hurricane as it comes ashore. And it's governed by several factors. One is simply the fact you've got winds pushing the water ahead of it. So it's kind of a normal ocean wave, obviously, is caused by wind pushing on the water. This is a huge sustained blast of wind that blows for hours and days on end in a given direction, and so it's like a gigantic wave. It's almost like a tsunami, although much slower and more sustained. And so you've got this hurricane pushing a huge wave of water in front of it. It's also true that the atmospheric pressure in the middle of a hurricane is much lower than average, and what that means is it literally sucks water upward toward the sky.
Wow.
A few inches toward the sky. And it's almost like you're sucking through a straw. And so that adds to the storm surge as well. And when the hurricane, before it comes ashore and when it comes ashore, that massive pulse of water comes with it, and it overwhelms barrier beaches. You know, when it hits New York City, there's danger that it will start pouring into the subways and filling up some subway tunnels. So, the thing I like to refer to most familiarly is that with Hurricane Katrina, the winds and the rain did not doom New Orleans. It was a storm surge that filled the city and essentially destroyed New Orleans.
But should we think of it as a gigantic wave or more like a rising mass of water?
A rising mass of water, but it's a rising mass that rises and moves onshore. And so it's not just rising, it's surging, as you might say.
Sure.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that when a storm surge coincides with high tide, that adds to the effect. So I was just looking at a projection for Philadelphia, and it says that the storm surge itself is going to be 1 to 2 feet as the water comes up the Delaware to Philadelphia. But the combined effect of storm surge and high tide, which happens tonight, I believe, at around 9, could be up to 9 feet.
Wow. So... And that means, again, I said this to one of our previous guests, my ignorance is entirely on display here. So if we're talking about 9 feet, I mean, are we talking about 9 feet then above the sort of, go ahead.
Yeah, above the average.
Above the average.
Average. So, you know, so you've got, in normal times with no storms, the tide goes up and down.
Right.
And so, you know, the average between high and low tide is what we're using as a baseline.
And is the concern, I mean, surges are not new. These come with these particular kinds of storms. But if you have an intense storm or even one of the size of Sandy, we're talking about, 800 to 1,000 miles wide, does that impact surge?
Yes. So for one thing, it makes the surge last longer. You know, mm-hmm. And that's a real concern with tides as well, because we have a high tide every 12 hours. It may mm-hmm. well be that Sandy's storm surge will carry through not just tonight's high tide, but tomorrow morning's as well. So it's prolonged with a storm this big. The very low pressure at the center of Sandy, which is really unusually low, will make that effect stronger than it would otherwise be. And finally, sea level is about 8 inches higher now than it was around 1900. And that's another factor, obviously, related mm-hmm. to climate change. Or maybe it's not obvious, but I just told you.
Go ahead.
And you know, sea level is going to keep rising through this century. So if a storm exactly like this comes along in 2050, whatever effects we're talking about today, you can add a foot to that. And if it comes along in 2100, you can add 3 feet to whatever measurements you have mm-hmm. For this storm.
And just looping back to something you said earlier, I mean, from your perspective and from other climate scientists, sea level as a result of climate change, that global warming is causing sea level rise?
Yes, absolutely.
So you take a big storm, you add the surge, you add the sea rise, you add the winds, and it seems to me along the coastal areas, that's a recipe for some serious concern.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, in places where hurricanes are more common, like Florida, South Florida, even though there's a lot of political debate about is it climate change real, is it not real, the people who are responsible for keeping the public safe in South Florida have cast aside political concerns, and they're working very seriously and actively on how to anticipate and plan for these effects as the century goes on. You know, where are they? Do they need to rebuild their water systems? Do they need to rebuild their sewage systems? They need to rebuild their transportation infrastructure. Are roads going to be consistently flooded out? And so, so it is absolutely something to worry about, and it's something to worry about in the Northeast as well.
Well, and something like 50 million people live along the coastline of the United States. It might include parts of Canada as well. People live there for a whole host of reasons. You're in New Jersey. We're here in Philadelphia.
Yes, yes. And so we are worried. And in fact, if you want to look at your personal risk based on where you live for flooding, including storm surge and sea level rise, we've got a website that lets you calculate that, and I'll just tell you the URL.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's sealevel.climatecentral.org, and there's actually a calculator. So that's sealevel.climatecentral.org.
The last time you were on, we were talking about droughts. We were talking about other storm events in other parts of the country. Does it make sense to connect some of these dots, or these discrete weather incidents or emergencies?
Connecting the dots with hurricanes and droughts is a little tough. The things that we're most certain about as far as climate change is concerned are droughts, heat waves, mm-hmm. and torrential rainstorms that are not associated with hurricanes. So on average, we're getting bursts of heavier rain around the world. We're getting bursts of drier periods. So it's more of a separation between wet and dry. We're getting longer and more pronounced heat waves. The science about hurricanes is still evolving, and so that we're not yet at a point where we can say, yes, you can see the fingerprint of climate change on hurricanes, or at least scientists aren't agreed on that. So a few scientists say, yes, we think we can see the fingerprint. Others say, no, you know, we're not so sure. It's plausible, but the evidence is not strong enough. And one reason for that is that our records of heat waves and rainstorms go back farther than records of hurricanes. And so on a scientific basis, you really need a long history of evidence to make any kind of definitive claim.
Well, on that note, Michael Lemonick, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
My pleasure.
He's a senior writer for Climate Central, and he's also a contributing writer for Time Magazine. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. You can also call us at 1-888-477-9499. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back.
Drexel University supports WHYY. At Drexel University, the co-op experience is more than an internship. It links the classroom with real-world experience in the workplace, helping to transform Drexel students into entrepreneurial professionals. Most co-op experiences are paid positions, which can help offset tuition fees and loans after graduation. More information is available at drexel.edu/thinkingforward. Drexel University. Thinking forward.
Just like moms, some dads choose to stay home with the kids while others are thrust into the role. Either way, it's a big job without the support of a human resources department. Some dads feel unwelcome in a scene that's still dominated by women, while family and peers wonder when they're going to get a, quote, real job. I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, the growing demographic of stay-at-home dads. Today at noon, here on WHYY-FM.
Fox Chase Cancer Center supports WHYY. Chef and cookbook author Rebecca Katz will speak at Fox Chase at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 15th. Katz's philosophy, The Power of Yum, utilizes immune-boosting recipes to complement medical care and to help people resist cancer. Katz's cookbooks will be available. A catered reception courtesy of Whole Foods Jenkintown will follow. No ticket required. Registration and more at foxchase.org. Fox Chase Cancer Center, now part of Temple Health.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We are tracking the course, the impact of Hurricane Sandy, which has gained in strength as it moves slowly up the East Coast. A big, wide storm. Meteorologists, emergency experts, government officials are all concerned about its impact. And joining us now from Middletown, Delaware, is Delaware Governor Jack Markell. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Let me give out that phone number to our Delaware listeners because we're going to talk to the governor. We also have someone who's down in Lower Sussex County who'll be joining us as well. Any questions about Delaware and the various challenges being posed by Hurricane Sandy, do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Governor Markell, tell us what you're doing in Middletown, Delaware.
Well, I'm outside of a shelter. As soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to go inside the shelter, Red Cross shelter. I just stopped at another one at William Penn High School. We had about 500 people last night staying at shelters, the seven shelters we've opened up in Delaware.
Are Delawareans heeding the warnings from you, from the state, from their various regional organizations?
I think most are, which we appreciate. It's important that people use common sense. The real challenge is going to be when we lose power. I think we could, people could be out for more than a week. And so hopefully people have all the supplies they need. That's why we gave people a lot of warning over the weekend.
And if power goes out, what should people do?
Well, hopefully they're stocked up. There are shelters, and if they need transportation to the shelters, they can call the Delaware helpline. But people may want to just, stick it out at home. But people need to be prepared to live with it for a while.
And certainly there are parts of Delaware that are low-lying. I actually grew up there, so I'm very aware of that. Did people evacuate some of those low-lying areas?
They did. We had a mandatory evacuation from some of the flood-prone areas that ended at 8 o'clock last night. So hopefully those folks are gone, because otherwise they could really find themselves cut off. But we have a very talented, hardworking, and cooperative emergency response community in Delaware. They've worked together for years. And it's all hands on deck. The challenge is that this storm is going to be with us for some period of time, and the worst of it hasn't even hit us yet.
Are there driving restrictions in Delaware?
There are driving restrictions. It's called our Level 2 driving restrictions. That means if you're not, the only people who should be out on the road are those who are in sort of healthcare, food delivery, fuel delivery, or if your company has gotten a waiver from the state. If you're not one of those people, you shouldn't be out on the road.
And from your observations, are people obeying that?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, we've been out on the road this morning, and there are not too many cars out there.
Has a state of emergency been declared in Delaware?
Oh, yeah, we declared a state of emergency on Saturday.
On Saturday as well. And did the president as well include Delaware?
That we expect any minute. The paperwork is making its way from FEMA to the White House, so we expect it very shortly.
And what will that mean for Delaware?
Well, it's basically just making sure the federal resources will be available to us, so we're highly, highly confident that'll happen.
And I'm assuming schools are closed in Delaware?
Yeah, that's a district-by-district decision, but I think, certainly for today, and, maybe a lot of schools have already announced they'll be closed tomorrow as well.
And public transit, do you have a lot of public transit in Delaware?
We have buses, and they're not working today. That's our Delaware Area Rapid Transit, DART, and they're not working today, sort of similar to SEPTA.
And how about the airport?
My guess is not too many planes coming in and out of Newcastle
Indeed.
County Airport
Indeed.
Today. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
No, so we've got, a very, a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people working really hard, but in the end, Mother Nature is very, very powerful, mm-hmm. as we're seeing throughout the region, and just a ton of work still to do, and we're really asking people to use common sense.
And can you describe the weather that you're seeing down there? This is a very slow-moving storm and obviously one that's of great concern to meteorologists and government officials like yourself. Can you describe what the weather is down there, Delaware?
So right now it's raining. Right where we are, it's somewhat windy. But the winds are really going to pick up through the day. It's going to be, up to 50 mile an hour sustained winds, at which point we'd have to close the bridges over the C&D Canal, which will be, obviously difficult for folks. But we expect gusts of up to 70 or 80 miles an hour.
And if someone has an emergency in Delaware, who and what should they call?
They can call the Delaware Helpline. For questions, I mean, emergencies, obviously call 911.
Right.
Otherwise, the Delaware Helpline at 800-464-HELP. That's 800-464-HELP is available.
And what will you be doing for the rest of the day?
Well, I'll be at some of the shelters. I'll be at the Emergency Management Agency and trying to thank a lot of the first responders who are out there and, making decisions as necessary as it relates to any other restrictions we might put in place.
And the responsibility of those first responders is to monitor situation, I guess, as it stands today, and obviously deal with an emergency when it comes up?
Yeah, I mean, they've been evacuating people setting up barricades if they have to close the bridge or setting up barricades if they have to close roads. So it's a really wide variety of responsibilities, and they're doing them really, really well.
Have you ever seen a storm like this?
No, I haven't. I mean, I was saying, and the worst hasn't hit us. When I was down at Rehoboth Beach yesterday, seeing the waves in action, I mean, it was as bad as it normally is at the height of the storm. And in fact, at that point, it was still hundreds of miles away. So I think we are really about to see something pretty unusual.
I spoke with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter earlier, and he was talking about if you have to go to a shelter, go to the shelter, but bring your pets, which I think is something that's new as a result of Hurricane Katrina. Is that the same message to people in Delaware?
Yeah, we know a lot of people won't want to come to the shelters if they can't bring their pets. So 6 out of our 7 shelters, so the only one that does not have one is down at Indian River High School. They're not taking pets, but all the other shelters are, in fact, taking pets.
Wow. So any final words before we say goodbye? Words of message to the people in Delaware?
Well, we appreciate your helping us get the message out. Main thing is be responsible. Think, use your common sense. Keep following the media as well as social media, but we're posting a lot on both on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, Governor Markell, thank you very much for joining us today in Radio Times. Stay safe.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Thanks a lot. And that's Delaware Governor Jack Markell joining us as we focus on Delaware, as we know of a lot of low-lying areas there as well. And it's got a pretty big coastline, and it's in our neighborhood here at WHYY. We'd love to hear from you. If you live in Delaware, have a family in Delaware, have some questions about Delaware, do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And a general question to everybody, which is, what are you doing today? Give us a call. We want to hear about how you are spending your Monday. Joining us now is Chris Clark, staff photographer for The Coastal Point. That's a weekly newspaper. That's just south of Indian River Inlet Bridge to Fenwick Island. That's in the inland lower Sussex County. He's the Coastal Point is a content partner of WHYY. And Chris Clark, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much, Marty.
Tell us where you are, Chris.
I'm in Fenwick Island, Delaware.
And what do you see around you?
Water. It's actually been quite an eventful morning. I've been out since about first light, so right around 7 o'clock, and there's been considerable change in the water levels. The ocean has actually dropped a little bit, but the bay has risen considerably.
And when you say considerably, is it possible to give us a ballpark of what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Fenwick Island happens to be the only municipality in the state of Delaware that sits entirely in a floodplain, and when you look at the streets on the bay side of Coastal Highway, there's probably about 18 to 20 inches more water in the bay now than there was at about 8 o'clock this morning. So all of the bayside streets in Fenwick Island now have water up to and lapping on Coastal Highway.
And we haven't gotten the full brunt of the storm yet.
No. We still have quite a ways to go with wind and tides and rain to fill it up even more.
And Chris, are you seeing people walking around? Are you seeing people at the beach? Are you seeing surfers, for instance?
Well, I haven't seen any surfers yet. There was a word through some mutual friends that there was going to be an attempt to do some tow-in surfing out at the Southside Inlet, and I'm hoping that nobody was dumb enough to do that, but I guess we shall see. But as far as the casual observer, yes, there are surprisingly a lot of people that are driving around and getting out of their cars and going up to the beach to take a peek at the ocean and what is happening. And it's a little disconcerting because I don't think that people realize that it's what you can't see that's going to get you. And there's a lot of debris that's starting to get tossed around now by the winds as they start to pick up in their intensity.
And where have you been driving around this morning? I mean, you described, for our listeners, I think I want them to make sure we know what Fenwick Island is.
Okay, I'll give you some specifics. I started out on Route 54, and if anybody has been to the beach area, that's unofficially the state line between Ocean City, Maryland, and Delaware. And I started in the town of Fenwick Island, which is right on the coast bordering Ocean City. I proceeded to then drive north as far as I could through Middlesex Beach and South Bethany Beach and Bethany Beach towards the Indian River Inlet. And during my travels as of 8 and 9 o'clock this morning, the ocean had breached the dune line between Fenwick Island and South Bethany, and also had water had come across the road and made it impassable north of Bethany Beach near the communities of North Bethany prior to the northbound approach to the Indian River Inlet Bridge.
Wow. What are you driving, Chris? What kind of car?
I'm driving an SUV that has quite a good bit of ground clearance, and I've had the experience of driving around in a lot of rainstorms and even a couple nor'easters and a couple blizzards a few years back, but nothing is comparing to what I've seen thus far. I've experienced quite a few storms in my years down here, and this is pretty intense as far as what we're seeing water level-wise on the bayside.
Have you had a chance to talk to some of the watermen or the people that are part of the fishing business down there?
No, I have not spoken to anybody in that business yet, but certainly the people that are out and about don't seem to be the ones that have much business around here.
So you don't see
those people, I think, are protecting their assets, which is themselves and their brains, and they're staying inside.
I hear you.
which doesn't speak much for myself.
I was going to say, I know you're reporting for us and you're covering this for your weekly newspaper. There are stores open, Chris?
There are not any stores open. There are a few gas stations that have left their pumps running. So every time I go past one, I do top off my tank. But I have done a pretty good job of making myself pretty self-sufficient, and I've got 3 days' worth of supplies tucked into my car. So worst case happens and I find myself stuck in a sandbank or something somewhere, as long as the car doesn't go underwater, I'll be okay.
Well,
I do have a life jacket in the car just in case, too.
Is this a part of Delaware where people were told to evacuate, or is it not so much?
The word of the evacuation came out on Saturday that you were supposed to begin preparations and evacuating Saturday evening and to be gone by Sunday night by 8 o'clock. But I think a lot of people have become jaded from storms in the past, and I don't believe that people really appreciated what was coming our way. And so you can see on the high sides of the road down here, people have moved their cars from their houses, and you drive down the road, you can tell, or I can, by the cars that are parked there, who's still in town. And there are an excessive amount of people that have stayed. So the warnings were given. And people, to some extent, did heed those and moved out of town. And I know that there are people now that are packing up and heading out to the shelters as they see what's happening. But there's still a lot of people around.
Do you see police around and you know, blocking off streets if there are problems with flooding, things like that, down wires?
There's definitely a good presence of the emergency responders. The state police, I saw a couple van loads of National Guardsmen get out at the bandstand in Bethany Beach, and they went up and took a look at the ocean. So the people are in town. The presence is available and is felt. I haven't been pulled over or stopped except at one point where they were setting up, where DelDOT was setting up a roadblock on Route 1. And they pretty much said, just, you're on your own, drive slow and be careful. So there isn't a sense of like a police state where you're getting pulled over and they're issuing the fines that we heard that would accompany a level 2 state of driving, which is emergency personnel only.
Right.
I personally would like to see some people get pulled over, but it would be
that's not your
for the state police.
Right.
It would be dangerous for the state police to be out issuing tickets. So the presence is there, and I think that may be enough to start deterring people.
Well, Chris Clark, stay safe, and thank you for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Marty.
No problem. And he's staff photographer for the Coastal Point, and that's a content partner of WHYY. The final of a bunch of guests that we had this morning on Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out more about this program. And I'm sure things are busy on Facebook and Twitter, so do check them out. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Bill. I do have the best producers. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.